What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, September 25th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside OK Beasts.
Yeah.
Here, not hosting, not right, and we'll get to that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Not hosting all straight up by yourself. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
All right. It's Blessing, Eddie Oye Jr.
Yes. Yay! Hey, enough about me. Tell me about The Last of Us 2.
Yeah, right. There are embargoes for a reason on Last of Us 2, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, I was not here yesterday because I refuse to work with WWE superstar Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed, host of the best YouTube channel, Up Up Down Down, a.k.a. the Crooked Commish. All right, I heard y'all talking your trash on the show.
Crooked?
Yeah, I heard you. Yeah, yeah, I heard that was all glossed over. They were all over here. You're retconning what happened with the championship universe here. Kind
of
funny.
I don't know if you've seen the comments. A lot of people are saying it's the best episode.
That's
KFTV.
The number one thing I wanted to talk about, is that you get to host with Pear tomorrow from IGN.
Yes, I do.
You get to host with Alex Van Aken on Friday.
Yes, I do.
I'm going to need you to be 10% less good because I'm sick of all the tweets. I'm sick of all the comments. I showed you when I sat down a text from Mr. Nintendo himself saying you guys are awesome and you in particular are awesome. We get it. You're an up-and-comer for a reason. Everybody nominated you to come be on the show and host for a week for a reason. You don't need to turn them all against me when I'm gone.
Hear me out. Quit. Hire me and Xavier.
Well, if I quit, that doesn't help me at all. Okay,
sorry. Hire me and Xavier and then quit.
Okay. I'll think
about it.
Give
the people what they want.
I'll think about it. All right?
Thank you.
I'll let the people in there.
Xavier,
no, you'll never get rid of me, Kev. This place will burn down with me inside. Don't you worry about it. Great job. No, you did a great job
today.
Thank you
so much.
I'm jealous of that, and I'm jealous of this PAX shirt you
have
that I tried to get from the PlayStation store, but they were already sold out by the time I went there. So, as usual, Blessing continues to be better than me in every single possible way.
It's true.
We'd usually BS around more, but guess what? This Roper Report is too stacked today. We're talking about State of Play and Inside Xbox recaps, PlayStation selling stuff straight to you, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that B-sharp part of the show, patreon.com/kindafunnygames. You can go there, give us your questions, comments, concerns, and everything under the video game sun. Then watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. There's a new party mode up on patreon.com/kindafunnygames. It's Jackbox Party Pack faking it with all of us, obviously, and Chloe, the other up-and-comer.
Yeah.
Ever Echo Chloe or so.
The homie.
Finally having some of that start to roll out. You can go check it out on patreon.com/kindafunnygames or get it for free tomorrow, youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Like, subscribe, share. Thank you to our Patreon producers, patreon.com/reretrogames, Blackjack, and Mohammed Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by Upstart, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! 6 items on the Roper Report.
Baker's Dozen!
And strap in, because you're going to be here a while, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
I'm excited!
Blessing, let's start at the top.
All
PlayStation
Greg.
State of Play. That is what happened yesterday. That's the top story I figured we'd lead with.
Yeah.
All sorts of juicy stuff in here. So let's. I'm going to give you the rundown of it, but we're immediately going to get lost in the weeds. You ready?
Okay.
So it's of course started. They announced Humanity. It's coming in 2020. It's the little people game running around. You thought that was just a thing advertising State of Play? You were dead wrong. It's a game. Enhance and the LTD working on it.
Yeah.
Of course, as you were quick to point out yesterday, I was very proud of you.
Thank you.
I was in my Uber driving the Last of Us thing, listening to you, and you sure enough were the one of like, Enhance, wait, they did Res.
Yes.
They did Res Infinite.
And so I'm upset with myself because they also did Tetris Effect, and that totally slipped my mind, and that's actually totally recontextualized how I feel about Humanity, because I love Tetris Effect.
Yeah.
And so knowing that,
taste.
Great game, and I was like, I was kind of, during the React video we did, right, I was kind of like, either or on it, because I was like, okay, this game looks cool, but I don't know what it's going to be. Is it going to be VR like Res Infinite, right? And I think they said that it's going to have VR elements. But yeah, now knowing that also it's the same people that did Tetris Effect, I think that gives more context to like what type of game I can expect Humanity to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're talented folks over there and they do really cool shit. Then it was a Call of Duty trailer for Modern Warfare, right? It's a story trailer. You were hype. I was watching it down in LA. I was hype about it. Story looks cool, right?
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Then, however, they then rolled into Special Ops Survival Mode coming to PlayStation 4, right? And then they talked about it. You can play it first there. And everybody, I think I watched like, okay, cool, whatever. So a mode to play first there. However, the fine print on the screen that many people missed was it's exclusive until October 1st, 2020.
Oh, wow.
You're not playing it first there. You're probably only playing it there. Mm-hmm. I'm kicking it over to Luke at Kotaku. What do you got, Barry, coming in with your question? Luke Plunkett at Kotaku had more information I'm putting in here. Spec Ops, first introduced in the original Modern Warfare 2, is a series of short, scripted missions that can either be played solo or co-op. They've been missing from the last few Call of Duties, so their return here has been seen as a welcome move by longtime fans of the series. While the core Spec Ops experience will appear on all platforms, Survival Mode, basically a horde mode for Call of Duty, available as an option within Spec Ops, won't be turning up outside the PlayStation 4 until October 2020, which conveniently is right around the time the next Call of Duty game will be due. As you can expect, Blessing, the internet did not take kindly to this information. Exploding, crazy. The articles are going up everywhere. Everybody's mad at doing think pieces. We're going to kick it over to Infinity Ward's narrative director, Taylor Kurosaki, a friend of the show, who's writing the narrative version of Call of Duty, right? The story mode that we're excited about. On Twitter, he was answering fan questions. I pulled two pertinent responses that I think I actually got from Luke's article. Number one from Taylor was this. We've tried our best to have an open dialogue with our players from day one. We understand letting that trust down. These are complicated decisions that are above our pay grade. Please know we want what's best for our players. Then another one, we see a guy who's like, this ruins everything. Let's be honest, quote, ruining is an exaggeration. Survival is 1% of the game. The other 99% is simultaneously day and date across all platforms. I'd rather have everyone playing 99% of the content at the same time than 100% of the content some time later. Then Colton Nessler writes in, and I want to get him in here so we can just have one big old pot conversation. Big old pot, whole bunch of stories and things. You bring it out, you drink the pot, and you go, I'm high on pot. I'm sure you already covered the Modern Warfare Spec Ops mode controversy today and its value across the different platforms. There's a lot of blame going towards Activision right now about how they're devaluing the Xbox and PC versions of the game while PlayStation 4 gets more value per dollar with the exclusive mode. But why is no one blaming Sony? They didn't need to take this deal. They could still be the best place to play with exclusive maps or guns, e.g. Destiny, and not choosing to be anti-consumer with this exclusivity deal. Call of Duty is an annual franchise, so by the time this mode frees up, that hot new Call of Duty will be dropping. This is unlike Destiny, where the content stays within the same game, so the exclusives are still desirable after the window ends. I personally enjoyed the beta on PC and plan on voting with my wallet at launch instead wait and play that sweet baby sim starring Daryl from The Walking Dead and his dark eyes. Blessing, lots to unpack. Your start from the top. Where do you come down on this one?
I mean, part of me wants to say that, like, you know, that's the nature of the games industry is that you get exclusives, right? Sure. And I know, like, things have been boiling up recently, especially with the Epic Games Store.
Epic Games Store has brought it to a whole new group of people.
Yeah, that whole competition.
PC players thought they were safe.
Yeah.
No, joke's on you.
Nobody's safe, right? Yeah. And I think this is just another case of, like, business is business, right? And PlayStation, I guess, saw value in having that exclusive mode and decided to, I imagine, throw money at Activision to make this happen.
Well, here, I want to take it a step back, Ethan, before we even get into the weeds of that, right?
Yes.
As you know, Gary Whitta likes to come on here usually on Wednesday, and he likes to be, oh, I'm the everyman. I drive my Tesla to Wendy's just like you. I'm like, wait a second, Gary. You are out there hustling with OK Beasts, doing this thing, right? You're paying your own way to shows. You're doing all stuff. I assume you buy most of your games, right?
Yeah, I buy all of my games.
There you go.
Well, most of my games, yeah.
Do you, as a consumer then, as someone who I think is in our space, obviously, and doing what we do, but way more in tune with what $60 and exclusivity and all this stuff means, does this offend you? And granted, I know you're not the Call of Duty guy.
Yeah. But I'm also a PlayStation person.
Yeah.
And so, like, if anything, I'm like, okay, cool, another mode. But I can imagine, I imagine, though, that, like, you know, being an Xbox fan, right, or being an Xbox owner, or even a PC person, right, I imagine seeing this and being like, dude, what in the world, right? Like, I can imagine people who may have already pre-ordered the game, maybe on a different platform, seeing this come out now, being like, I mean, I wish I knew this months ago when the game was originally announced, right? I'm split on it because, like, you know, I guess you could argue that then... Actually, I don't know if you can argue that then lessens the value on other platforms just because PlayStation is getting this exclusive thing. Because if this mode wasn't there, you'll still pay the same $60 for the game, right? Yeah, I don't know. I'm in a few different places with it.
I feel like it's the normal place we're all in, right? Whereas mm-hmm. I feel like even though a majority of our games come from codes or whatever for reviews and stuff, it shakes out in the same thing of, well, this is what the business is these days.
Mm-hmm.
And do I like this? No, obviously. You want everybody to have access to the content and have access to the same games. I find it interesting, you know, Taylor talking in his tweets, right, that these complicated decisions are above our pay grade. That he said that in another tweet, too, like mm-hmm. repeating that over and over again, that again,
interesting,
where people are like, why are we blaming it's Activision versus Sony? And it is them versus the developers, so it's weird to see Taylor, the guy who writes the story, getting blowback on Twitter, mm-hmm. even though he's the face of the game so far. It's, and I guess it's because I never had many, and I don't know what the fuck Spec Ops is before this, right? I didn't expect, I'm excited for the 2v2 mode where we run through and kill people in the warehouse.
Yeah.
Hearing this, having it not be there, I understand being upset about it, but I also, as an outsider, think it could be so much worse, right? Like, yeah. It's not all of Spec Ops isn't there. It is literally just the survival mode isn't there. The stuff you were, and that's where I obviously right now, kindoffunny.com/you'rewrongplease, is Spec Ops survival something we taught, you know, Luke's article says it's been, you know, first introduced in the original Modern Warfare 2, a series of short scripted missions that can either be played solo or co-op. They've been missing for the last Call of Duty games. Their return here has been seen as a welcome. All of that still is true.
Mm-hmm.
The core Spec Ops experience will appear on all planets. Survival mode, basically a horde mode for Call of Duty, available as an option within Spec Ops, won't be turning up. Is this survival mode, this horde mode, new? Or is this something you were already expecting? Because you bring up a good thing with the pre-orders. That's a great point. That if I had great memories of Modern Warfare 2 Spec Ops, and one of my favorite thing was survival mode, the horde mode,
yeah.
Then there is a case, I think, there. If it is that, I was excited because of Spec Ops being there. I wanted to do these two-player missions. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Then I find out that they're adding a new mode to it, but it's exclusive to PlayStation. I don't. It's not that you can't be offended. Obviously, you can have any opinion.
Like, it's
you
definitely
want.
Like a thing where it's like, okay, yeah, this is a bummer, but I don't necessarily like fault them for it. I'm just like, for me, it's the thing of like, oh dang, like I wish that was coming to more platforms. I do think it's a bummer that it is coming to other platforms way later, right?
Yeah.
Like by the time it comes out, it's not going to really matter to the wide majority of the audience. But yeah, like, you know, unfortunately, it seems to me like it is the name of the game, right? Like these deals happen. It could be worse. Like it could be like, you know, like
they could have taken all of Spec Ops,
yeah, all of Spec
right?
Ops. Yeah. But at least like for it to just be this horde mode, granted horde mode in games is usually like really fun and really awesome. And so like, I do get that being a bummer.
Oh, totally.
For the people that are maybe playing on other platforms that would have looked forward to something like this.
You know, to bring in the question from Colton, right, who is like, why is nobody blaming Sony? They didn't need to take this deal. They could still be the best place to play with exclusive maps or guns. And you know, he continues, right? Like, sure, they could be. And Morgan in kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong says survival mode was introduced in Modern Warfare 3. So okay. What it is an established thing you could be expecting if that gives me more context. Thank you. Why is nobody blaming Sony on this one? Because I think this would have gone to the highest bidder, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm sure Xbox.
Like Microsoft would have done the same thing.
I don't think Phil Spencer, they came to him and offered this deal and he, no way. That's unfair to gamers. We won't do that, right? Like, if this is a generation, a console cycle right now, and actually as we get ready to move to a different generation where how you add value to a game on your platform is changing, it feels like, by the minute, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it is, like, in the old days, it was having a full-blown exclusive, then it was having the maps be exclusive, then it is just having skins be exclusive in some respect. Like, anybody is going to want this game, which is going to be one of the highest-selling games of the year, to be the reason you go get in their system.
Yeah.
And so for to have whatever little ding you can get on it, whatever little asterisk you can put on it of why you're better than the other guys, that's why.
Yeah. Like you don't really get mad at Sony because this is the thing that first parties do, right? Activision, you know, if you want to get mad at Activision, I think there's more of a justification there. Since like this is their game, this is their vision, this is what they decide that they want to do with this product. And so like I think it makes sense that like, yeah, like Activision, for them to be the ones who get, I imagine, final say on this thing, since this is their game.
And especially the way Taylor's talking about above our pay grade.
Yeah.
He's talking about, I mean, I don't even think between the lines, right, that he's talking about the publisher. He's not even talking, I don't even think he's saying at IW, like, the tree, you know, this is who's talking. Mm-hmm. No, he's saying, like, hey, our publisher who signs these agreements is what's happening.
Exactly. And so, like, it's, once again, it's a bummer, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. It's very much where I'm not hesitant to say stuff. I've already said a bunch of stuff about it, but I understand that I'm not the audience. It's similar to what I was talking about, that season pass argument of people arguing from the outside about games they were never going to play. So what do you care? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. If you were going to play Call of Duty, if Modern Warfare is your jam, your shit, and you were super stoked for this, I get being being upset by that.
Do you think that there's any correlation between this and Sony not being at this last E3, therefore, like, Call of Duty not being able to show up on the Sony stage? Do you think that, like, that then leads to, like, them being like, okay, well, we need something from you, or we need some sort of partnership. We're going to partner in this way by having this.
No, I mean, in kindoffunny.com/wrong, go ahead and tell me. But I know how many years has it been now where Call of Duty's had exclusive PlayStation content.
That's true.
Because I remember that big switch where that was Xbox's rally cry for so long, and then eventually it switched back to PlayStation.
Isn't it usually like early exclusive? Once again,
yeah, it's usually, like, usually maps. I think it's usually something to that effect. And like, yeah, a mode is an interesting one, especially with a window that long.
Yeah.
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 We'll see, though. Obviously, you can write in if you have more strong opinions. If you're one of the Call of Duty faithful, let me know. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Continuing on with what happened at State of Play, then Watam comes out now. It has a release date, December 2019. I played that at GDC at the Annapurna area.
Yeah, we were talking about that during the stream yesterday.
Nobi Boy never worked for me, right? And so to look at this one, I was like, okay. Yeah, okay. Playing it, I was like, this is goofy and weird, and you're turning into a toilet to eat poops, and then that's getting bigger.
Does it play how it looks? Because even looking at it, I was like, I don't...
Like weird and clunky?
Yeah.
Totally. Okay. Yeah, that's what those games are all about. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, 100%. Arise then got announced. The simple story is from Techland. Looks like you're like a dead Viking who's on the other side of the afterlife trying to go through. It looks beautiful.
We're calling it Santa Claus Simulator because the main character you play as looks like Santa Claus. I guess trekking through this environment, but you know, it looks cool.
It does look cool. It had like Journey vibes there at the end when you look at the giant mountain. But in general, I'm all for that kind of experience. Then they had LA Noire, the VR case file, out now. If you want to put on your PlayStation VR and play in LA Noire. Did that do anything for you?
No.
Do you play VR or PlayStation VR?
I love PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
I've never played LA Noire, and so that's why like this doesn't necessarily like, you know, vibe with me. But like a lot of what they showed, and we'll get to in a second, the VR sizzle reel.
Sure.
I thought it looked pretty interesting.
That was the next thing, was a VR sizzle reel, thank goodness. Gorn is coming winter 2019. Aspire 1, the VR operative, is coming out on September 19th. Stardust Odyssey is coming this winter. After the Fall is coming in 2020. Space Channel 5 VR Kinda Funky newsflash comes autumn 2019. I'm going to need you to get our lawyers on that one.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like a lawsuit. I saw that's too close. I didn't get to play it, but I saw somebody playing it at PAX. PAX West, and it was like they're doing like a dance mini game, or I don't know if that's the whole game, but they're dancing.
Yeah,
and I was watching. I was like, oh, okay, oh, cool. This looks pretty fun. And I saw the kind of funky thing. I was like, oh, cool. Somebody's gonna sue somebody.
Might as well call it the kind of funky rounder report. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, exactly.
And that was it. No Iron Man. Where's that game? 2019?
Did they say 2019?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
They showed Medieval. They showed, and we'll talk about that. They also showed Death Stranding, and it seemed like they didn't show Concrete Genie, but we do have a date for that, right? And so it's like, how much more of that do they really need to show?
Yeah.
But I mean, they gave a good view of like what this fall is gonna look like. So for that not to be here is kind of interesting.
The one wrinkle, and I'm doing a double check as I go. Yeah, Marvel Games is doing a panel at New York Comic Con Friday, October 4th, and they are advertising Iron Man VR to be a part of it.
Okay.
So it's possible they put a release date on it. But if you're PlayStation, I think you'd want to own that messaging more than a New York Comic Con panel. But who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? I also thought there'd be a Batman game, so go fuck me, I guess, right? As you said, Medieval was there. It has a demo out right now. It's available till October 6th. If you play it, you'll get a free helmet for Sir Daniel Fortescue in the game. Then Civ 6 is coming to PlayStation.
Cool.
It'll come out on PlayStation 4 November 22nd, 2019. Excited about that.
Yeah.
Way back in the day when we were still in the spare bedroom, I went out there and did a sponsored hosting gig where I just got to interview the devs about Civ 6. And it's awesome, and it's totally cool, but I'm never going to play it on PC, so.
What about on Switch?
No.
No?
No.
Just because it seems like
run as well.
Yeah, it's not going to run. Yeah.
I remember what? I remember playing Civ Revolution 2, right, on Vita. And I was like, oh, man, I remember how much people like the first one jumped in this. And I was like, ooh, this barely runs. I'm like,
Do you have confidence that it's going to run well on PS4?
Yeah.
Okay.
Am I crazy?
I don't know. I don't play Civ, and so.
Yeah. I think it'll be okay. I'm not too worried.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got me worried. Should I be worried? I don't know. I heard you talking shit about City Skylines 2 running poorly on consoles.
On Switch.
It was terrible.
Like, even in the trailer, if you watch the trailer, it chugs in the trailer. I'm like, why would you release this?
Why would they think that, like, oh, yeah, this will work? No.
Like, it seems cool in theory, and it seems good in theory, but in practice,
game,
it just, yeah, it just didn't pan out.
Also, the controls were awful, but let's move on.
Yeah.
We're moving on. PlayStation 4 Pro is getting a Death Stranding bundle. You can get a dope-ass controller.
Yeah.
One of those, like, see-through, goldish, yellowish controllers, right? Looks like the baby bottle.
Yeah, when they first showed it in the State of Play, they had, like, the animation of the baby in the controller. And so at first I was like, oh, let's go. But then, like, it turns out that the baby's not really going to be in the controller, which I'm a little bit sad about, but I understand.
That'd be such a conversation piece for your house.
It would be.
Bring a date over your grandmother, and she's like, why is there a baby inside of that thing?
It's like, let me tell you about Kojima.
Grandma, how much time you got for me to explain the brilliance of Hideo Kojima?
You played MGS4. There's a lot that goes on in that game.
You ever heard about a BB?
It's like, yeah, this BB's bridge baby I got here. What did you think of the console itself, though? White with the two black handprints on it.
I think Andy put it great where he was like, I can just make this console for you. And I was like, you know what? Fair. Like, I saw, like, at first when I saw that there's going to be a Death Stranding console, I got super hyped. But then I, like, kind of flashbacked to, like, all the other PlayStation consoles that they've released. And I was like, this isn't going to look that amazing, is it? And then they showed it. And I was like, looks fine. Like, I don't think it looks bad by any means. I think it looks fine. Kind of basic.
Hold on, I'm getting a phone call from Los Angeles.
Okay.
Hello, this is Greg on Kind of Funny Games Daily.
Greg Miller. Your old pal Scott Porter.
Hey, Scott Porter. How you doing, buddy? I'm great. We're talking. Your blessings here. We're doing Games Daily. How are you? You're doing well. How are you
doing? Hi, Scott Porter.
I'm doing very well, man. I'm doing very well. Wait, you're busy right now?
Well, I mean, we're doing the show. We're doing the Games Daily. It's live every day, 10 a.m.
Oh, you're answering my phone call during the show.
Well, it said Los Angeles. I wasn't sure if you were Hideo Kojima or Neil Druckmann or something.
Well, I mean, I'm almost at those guys' level.
It's true.
Not quite, but
you're Nightwing in the Lego games.
Very special.
What's
very special?
What's going on? What do you think of the Death Stranding PlayStation 4 Pro?
I mean, it's gorgeous, but I think the Spider-Man.
I agree. Yeah, I like that one quite a bit. So what's up? Why are you calling? Is this a private conversation we need to have?
Yeah, no, I was calling in to chat a little bit about something I've got going on this weekend and something that I think a lot of people that watch and listen to you might be interested in. I was on with you last year around this time, and you so graciously and generously allowed me to talk a little bit about Huntington's disease.
Yeah.
It's something that my wife and my mother-in-law both have, as well as a number of people in their family. It's a genetic disease. It's best described as having ALS and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's all rolled into one. You know, it's a very difficult thing to deal with. And we found out about 5 years ago that it was in our family, and we're doing all we can to try and defeat this thing. So this weekend in Hollywood, California, we are holding an event called Freeze HD. It's our fifth annual big-time gala where we try and raise a ton of money to help find a cure and also to help support families with Huntington's disease. And as a part of our event, we have this crazy silent auction. And the silent auction isn't only for people in the room, it's actually online, and people anywhere can bid on it. And we have some crazy games related items.
Oh, do you now?
So, yeah, we do. We have some crazy stuff, like a full Gearbox studio tour hosted by Christy and Randy Pitchford.
Oh, wow.
As well as dinner and drinks at Nerdvana, which is their amazing, crazy, like,
game nerd bar, yeah.
culture, yeah, nerd bar down in Frisco, Texas. And that's open and ready for bid right now. We've got the aforementioned PlayStation 4, the Spider-Man, the special edition.
Oh, I see what you did there. All right, you're bringing it full circle. All right.
I voiced a character in that. I voiced Harry Osborn. And, you know, and Yuri Lowenthal, who voiced Spider-Man, as well as Tara Platt, who voiced Yuri Watanabe, and Laura Bailey, who voiced Mary Jane Watson, have all signed this console.
Ooh,
wow. We signed the special edition Spider-Man statue, the limited edition collector's edition. We signed the art book. We signed both game copies that come with those two items, as well as a full suite of PlayStation games along with it. I'm talking, you know, we got everything from God of War to their most recent releases as well. And I think there's like 14 games in that PlayStation bundle.
Nice.
And as of right now, the highest bid is $160. So if you want a deal, go to our auction website and you can bid on all this stuff. And, you know, it keeps on going from there. We've got a Gears 5 limited edition console signed by Laura Bailey and Eugene Bird and Liam McIntyre, who are the cast of Gears 5 itself. We have a Nintendo Switch bundle. I play Star-Lord in the latest Marvel Ultimate Alliance game, and I signed that bad boy. So if anybody's interested in any of this stuff, we just got in this morning. We just, Todd Howard from Bethesda sent us something from his office. It's an entire suite of Bethesda games, as well as a huge map and poster form of the Fallout 76 land that's signed by Todd Howard and the entire team behind the Fallout 76. He signed these bobbleheads, limited edition E3 bobbleheads that you can't get anywhere else that go for ridiculous money on eBay. That package just came in, and that's up on the site, too. So I just wanted to reach out and let everybody know that these items are out there and they can be had for pretty good prices.
I was going to say, we're looking at it right now on the browser if you're a video viewer, and you have one of those games cases that I love so much, and right now it's at $100. That's a steal.
And not only does that... Yeah, that's a games suitcase. That is the Sentinel edition. It's a slicker version. It's got a 14-inch high definition screen, and you get an Xbox One. You get an Xbox One included with that. You get an actual console with that Sentinel.
God!
To take out of the venue, or if you win online, you know we'll just mail it to you, and it comes equipped with a console in it, so you don't have to even worry about. Oh, what am I going to do, though? Am I going to take my console from the house everywhere with me? No, you just have this one that specifically sits in the Sentinel, and you can take your Xbox anywhere you want to. But you can hook any high-def gaming console up to that games rig, the Sentinel. It's the brand-new one, too. They graciously hooked us up, so.
That's awesome, Scott. Usually I'd give you crap for calling in and advertising in the middle of a show like Xavier Woods, the Crooked Commissioner, but I appreciate you doing this. I'm glad we can help you out.
Well, you know what, man? It's like last year, the event made almost $200,000. You guys really helped us out. We had a team for a walk for hope last year. We did a 5K walk, and, man, the Kinda Funny Games family just stepped up in a big way. We saw so many donations come through from the Kinda Funny Games family, and, you know, it was just a really fun day up there with you last year. And, you know, when I reached out to you on social to see if you would – so graciously allow me to come back on. You were such a sport for it, man. And, you know, I just appreciate you guys so much. And, you know, just allowing me the time to come on and share something so personal. You know, this year we had a goal set of $250,000 to raise. We are already smashing that. We want to break through that wall and just, we want to set the mark so high for single day fundraising for Huntington's disease research and support. That everybody else strives to get there. And that's what we're really trying to do with this event. And, you know, it's a testament to the gaming community that all of these auction items came in without anybody even blinking an eye.
Sure.
I just sent a couple of emails out, and people were like, yes, 100%, we are there for you. We're here to support. And every time you see a cause that catches some wind in the gaming community, man, people get behind it 110%. It's just such an incredible thing to see. And it's such a unified and caring community. And, you know, sometimes you hear negative things about the gaming community, but there's so much positivity and so much care and so much generosity and so much hope. And that's who we really are. And that's what you foster, you guys up there at Kinda Funny Games. And I just appreciate that so much. And I think it was really cool of you to let me call in. And
oh, we love you, Scott. You know that anytime. So what's the easiest URL for people to go to help out?
Yeah, that's going to be freeze5.givesmart.com.
Perfect.
That takes you to the front page of that auction. If you don't see any items that you like, there's a tab right at the beginning that you can click on and you can donate if you do feel so inclined. But there are a ton of really cool items in there. And it's not just games related. I mean, we have set visits. We have signed scripts from a bunch of really cool shows.
I saw a dinner with Topher Grace on there. All right? I can go talk to Venom himself. You know I'm all about it.
Yeah. Dinner with Topher Grace, man. And we've got a ton of stuff like that. We've got like a private screening for 20 and a meet and greet with Rachel McAdams, who is on our host committee, to watch Mean Girls on the Paramount Studios lot.
Damn.
Where it was shot. I mean, that's pretty cool. And one item that's not listed yet that's going to be listed soon is we're going to have a Top Gun Maverick screening at Paramount as well before it opens in the States.
Oh, we should try to get that for Nick.
Yeah, so but you not know, invite keep on keeping an eye on all these things. There's a ton of signed stuff. If anybody's a fan of like Friday Night Lights or Heart of Dixie or any of these television shows that I've been a part of, or if anybody's a fan of Speed Racer the movie, we've got an awesome auction item with that I signed of a Mondo Tees LP, double LP of Michael Giacchino's soundtrack, as well as a record player and a wireless speaker that you can take it anywhere you want to. So we have so many crazy, cool items spread out through this. We've got Guardians of the Galaxy, Chris Pratt signed poster and DVD of Guardians of the Galaxy 2, plus a full-size Yondu stand-up cutout that's signed by the entire Ravagers cast, which is pretty insane, too. Yeah, Michael Rooker and Chris and the whole Chris Sullivan and the whole gang, man. They all...
All right, well, don't give it all away. We want people to go to this site. Freeze5.givesmart.com. Help out. Stop Huntington's disease.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you so much.
Anytime,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, brother.
We'll see you soon.
All right, Joe.
All right, bye.
Have a good one.
That's awesome.
What a nice young man.
That's so cool.
You know what I mean? If you're, yeah, he did a whole bunch of introduction of himself in there, as he should. Mm. Scott Porter, of course, we think of him as a voice actor, doing all sorts of stuff like Harry Osborn into Spider-Man PS4. Mm-hmm. But, obviously, star of Friday Night Lights and a million other things. Heart of Dixie, yeah. And he's been on our shows before, too. You can go back and listen to his Game Over Greggy show. I digress. Let's continue with what's happening at PlayStation in a 30-minute Roper report. After Party got a trailer. We already knew the release date, October 29th. They'll pop up in the Xbox One later, too, so keep that there. Then PlayStation Plus teased what's happening next month. MLB The Show and The Last of Us Remastered are free in October.
And that's MLB The Show 19, not...
Oh, not 20. The most recent one?
Yeah, good well, call. When does MLB The Show usually come out, actually?
Spring, right?
Oh, it's trying to never mind. Thing. Yeah, I don't keep up with it that well. For some reason, I thought like all sports games came out in the fall for the next year.
No. So, baseball comes out, timed out with baseball.
Gotcha. So 19 comes out in 2019.
It might be 19. I don't know. That one I'm not sure about.
It's a smart move.
Come on, we'll do it.
Yeah,
this.
That might be the thing.
MLB The Show.
Because it might be the latest 20. One. That, in that case, that's even better
I'm
than
pretty
I
sure it is.
Yeah, that's really cool then.
Yeah, I'm right. It's the latest yeah, one. I'm right. No, it's first. Yeah.
Okay,
MLB
cool.
The Show 19 is the most.
And that's a really good month.
Hell yeah. Oh, it's a great month, right?
Yeah.
And a great way to lead into the finale, of course, which has been The Last of Us Part 2. I assume every human being here has seen the trailer.
Yes.
Looks stunning. I saw you guys react to it. Amazing.
Yeah.
We're going to spoil the trailer. Obviously, I'm embargoed as to what I played. I can only talk about it tomorrow on the Gamescast. You can catch that. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But that ending, right?
Dude.
Like Joel. God.
Dude.
So good.
That game is going to come out and it's going to like... It's going to be awesome. I think we all expect greatness.
Of course.
From Naughty
Dog. And that's where it gets difficult about it.
Yeah.
Is that I used to say this all the time at PlayStation when we were at PlayStation, at IGN when we'd be talking about PlayStation of, at some point, Naughty Dog has to miss.
Yeah.
When will they miss? When will you have one that we go, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's what I was talking about yesterday, right? Where like, you know, the last, like I've always had like a love-hate relationship with Uncharted, and that's going to sound like sacrilege. I really think Uncharted 2 and Uncharted 3 are great in a lot of ways, but I've always had some problems with some of the gameplay there. I think Uncharted 4 comes through and Uncharted 4 came through and just nailed it and nailed what Uncharted needed to be. And Last of Us 1 was awesome, right? Lost Legacy, I've heard, is great. I've only played the first few hours.
Really?
But, oh yeah, I've been meaning to go back and play it, but there's just way too many games.
Yeah, that's true.
But
that's what I was thinking too yesterday, where I was like, man, Last of Us Remastered is dropping. Like,
yeah.
I should play Last of Us again. I'm like, when the fuck am I going to play Last of
Us? That's the same thought I've been having. It's like, I want to go back and replay The Last of Us for, I think, a third time. Yeah, dude, like, the last miss... Actually, I was going to say Uncharted 1 is missed, but Uncharted 1 wasn't a miss either. Like, Uncharted 1 was just like a...
Starting to run.
Yeah, right?
That was the jog to get to the sprint.
Yeah, let's get our footing. Yeah. You know, let's start this franchise, right? I don't want to say that there's no way Naughty Dog can like put out a miss because I don't want to jinx it.
Yeah.
But like I have the utmost confidence that this game is going to come out and be killer. I know there's like some issues that people have as far as like how they're treating some of the characters. It seems like from what we can see in the trailer, I'm curious on how some of that stuff plays out. But overall, like Last of Us 2.
If you're
like
not familiar, there was a lot of conversation of the way the trailer is set up.
Mm-hmm.
It appears like they're falling into the trope of basically fridging the girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
Where like, yeah, all right, cool. The motivation is here is that this, you know, this female, this partner is going to be taken, killed immediately, and that'll set us off on a path of revenge.
Yeah, and that's a trope you see in a lot of media, right?
Yeah.
Where like, especially in like lesbian love stories, right? One of the girlfriends just straight up getting murked, or even both of them, right? And so like, you know, and we've seen that with Left Behind, right? And so like, you know, if that happens again in this same like story, you know, that might be upsetting for a lot of people.
It's in my reaction too, because I saw a bunch of people talking about it breaking down. And for the record, most if not everybody being like, listen, it's a trailer, but let's talk about what it looks like, right? Like, I feel like Naughty Dog and Neil, right, and that team understand the, like, when they talk, people listen, and I don't know if they would fall victim to like this straight trope, like, right?
Yeah. And like,
not to,
you know,
I mean, even though a lot of people were quick to point out, like, well, yeah, but the dad trying to avenge his fallen daughter is a pretty tropey thing, right?
But like, yeah, I think Tim was talking about this a little bit too during the stream yesterday, is that, like, you know, we've seen them trick us before. Yeah. Apparently, like with the first few Last of Us trailers, right? We had a certain assumption of what Last of Us 2 was going to be story wise, right? Like, you know, there's a lot of theories about, is Joel still alive, right? Yeah. Is Ellie avenging Joel, right? And so to see this, that idea kind of flipped in this last trailer tells me that, like, you know, this might not be the case. Like, I don't know. There still might be some mystery going on in terms of what the final story might end up being.
Sure.
You know?
And even still, like, yeah, it's, do you trust them as storytellers to go in there and do that, right?
Yeah.
Because I feel like, and I'm now starting to get out on a ledge here that I don't fully understand, right? Fridging the girlfriend, right? And then, of course, as you bring up, it's often used in the gay storylines as well, too. Where it's offensive. It stems from comic books, right? Where Fridging the Girlfriend literally was when Kyle Rayner became Green Lantern, Major Force showed up and killed his girlfriend Alex and shoved her in the refrigerator. And that was like a thing that got us so started on this thing. The problem was that his girlfriend was so not fleshed out that she was just a prop.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I feel like if you're, and I, again, I'm out on a limb here and not maybe understanding fully, again, you know, straight white male who doesn't have to worry about anything ever, right? If you're giving me two incredibly fleshed out characters and an incredible relationship and I understand them and like something bad happens to one of them, I don't know if it's as tropey as it is the other way.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, again, because I'm not fully versed on everything.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine, good. Glad you're with me. Jerk. release date, February 21st, 2020. Tomorrow, you will not be able to get away from Last of Us news, as everyone will be previewing it. We will be, of course, on the Gamescast as well. But right now, Blackjack writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hello, Greg and Blessing. What's good? With Sony's third State of Play in the books, the general reaction seems to be mixed at best. With, of course, the exception of The Last of Us Part 2. Greg, I want to ask you so many questions, but I'm sure you can't talk about it yet. I, myself, fell victim to the Batman hype and felt a bit let down with State of Play. I should have known better. Does the PlayStation community need to recalibrate their expectations of what a State of Play actually is? Mostly indie titles with the rare showing of a AAA game we already know about? Or should Sony only have a State of Play when they have something substantial to reveal/discuss in detail? Even if that means only having one every 6 months, or even longer at that. Blessing, it was a joy to see you host yesterday with Xavier for first time ever, ABC, All Black Cast.
Yeah.
You were amazing. Keep killing the game, my brother.
Thank you so much, Blackjack.
State of Play, what's your read on it?
I'm in the middle, right? Where I think the idea and the execution so far is getting there. Like, you know, Nintendo Directs have come a long way, right? They weren't always awesome. They weren't always this thing where we were super hyped to see, right? I feel like it's taken the release of the Switch for Nintendo Directs to really become like this like thing we all gather for and that we're all excited for, right? And Nintendo's been like killing those, right? They've been like destroying it as far as making Nintendo Directs something we care about and something that we're hyped about during, with a lot of like out of this world announcements, right? And State of Play hasn't become that yet, and a big part of me thinks it is because it's the end of the generation, and so they're holding all their cards to the chest and like they don't have much to say. I do wonder though, like, would it have been a better idea to have held State of Play for maybe the PS5, right? Or leading up to the PS5 when they have more things to say, because now it doesn't seem, I think Tim said, like, it seems like commercials, right? It seems like, hey, we have something we have to say about The Last of Us, and so we're just going to put a bunch of commercials behind it because we know you're going to watch for The Last of Us.
Yeah.
And that's not how it should be, right? I think they should be able to treat State of Play, they should be able to make State of Play something that we're hyped for, the things that we don't know
is
going to be there, you know?
You say, you know, that's not what it should be. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, really? Like, that's my thing is, like, you know, Blackjack's saying, like, do we need to recalibrate our expectations? 1,000%.
Yeah.
Everyone keeps trying to put it into a box of, it's an E3, it's a mini E3, it's a Nintendo Direct, it's a commercial, blah, blah. Like, I think, honestly, PlayStation's doing it right if they are going to continue these through the PlayStation 5 lifecycle.
Really?
Where it was, hey, we're not doing E3. But let's get out there and be able to own the conversation for a day or whatever. But more importantly, get out there and do a bunch of, hey, we're setting the expectation for what this is, where you will get a update on one game you really care about, mm-hmm. and then there will be commercials, which sounds shitty to say when most everything we do in video games is a commercial. Mm-hmm. But even like, you know, you're talking about how Nintendo is killing with the Nintendo Directs now. I would say, and you said because of Switch, mm-hmm. and I would say it's because it's popular. Not even because of Switch, because it's popular. When it was Nintendo Directs for the Wii U, I didn't fucking play my Wii U. I didn't care about any of this. Just tell me about your biggest game. Mm-hmm. Switch, I feel like when they do a Nintendo Direct, for me personally, it is very exciting to be like, oh man, I can't wait for Animal Crossing and whatever weird announcement they're going to have, whatever weird indie I'm going mm-hmm. to see that I wouldn't have given time of day to or heard about, or it would have gotten boiled or blended by a million of different things, right?
Yeah.
In some way, it's what I'd like to think we do with the showcase of elevating smaller games to actually get the attention, but they elevate the smaller game, whether it be Nintendo or whether it be PlayStation State of Play, and let's just take it back to State of Play. Mm-hmm. Elevate a game, you know, like Arise, A Simple Story, which I'm watching, I'm like, this game looks dope. Like, yeah. This totally seems like a Greg Miller joint of a weird indie, even though it's not an indie. Well, technically, it's Techland, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, was every, like, the day of Nobi Nobi Boy PS3 is long gone, yeah, right? And so, like, to get us to look at humanity, all right.
And that's why I'm mixed about it, because, like, I do love the fact that it seems like they're bringing back weird PlayStation with a lot of what they're showing at State of Play. But at the same time, I do feel like, are they bringing back weird PlayStation because they're passionate about, like, lifting up these games? Or is it a thing where they're like, okay, we got nothing else to talk about.
We got you 20 minutes.
And, like, we got you, like, we have your time.
Yeah.
Let's just, like, you know, show you some stuff that that other people are working on, that we're working on, that we want to get in front of your eyes.
Yeah. See, I hear you, and I definitely do think that is. But, like, again, this is what the old Adam Boys conversation would be about E3, right? Of, like, they build these things hoping you'll find two or three things you care about, right? For me, looking at the bullet points, right? Humanity, whatever. I don't know what that game is. It's weird.
Yeah.
Cool. It's weird, but it's not moving the needle for me. Call of Duty. All right, cool. Didn't need it, but I like the story trailer where it was like, oh man, this game is beautiful,
cool,
and stuff. Like, Watatom, I already kind of knew about, but, and I'm like, man, I'll try it. Arise, I'm in for. LA Noire, no thank you. VR Sizzle Reel, I'm excited to see, but none of those were my kind of games. Medieval, from what I've played already, I like. I will download that demo to get the stupid helmet because I'm one of those guys. Civ 6 was out of the blue and interesting, and I want to play that. The cool controller for Death Stranding. All right. After Party, a game I'm already lock, stock, and barrel on. Didn't need a trailer. But again, if it's getting more people to realize this quirky, weird game with Dave Fanoy and Janina Gavankar and from the Night School people is coming
out. Yeah, and After Party was a great addition in that in State of Play, even though we've seen a lot of up to now. But, like, that's, I feel like that's the type of game that I get excited for being a part of one of these presentations, where, like, I watch a Nindies presentation, right? They don't really call them directs, but the Nindies presentations that Nintendo does, and a lot of those indie games, like, really get me excited because I feel like the way in which they present them, the way in which they frame them, the way in which they the pace at which they frame them, I feel like there is a pacing there with Nintendo's presentations that nails it in a way that Arise, right? Did that trailer need to be that long? Same with Watam, same with Humanity. Like, could have those been 30 seconds each and bundle them together?
Great.
So
point.
We can get to the next
point. That's a
point,
great point.
Right? Like, I wish the State of Plays were kind of framed better. Cause, like, when they got to the VR sizzle reel, that's when I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'm getting five games here that all seem cool. And I don't feel like my time is being wasted by just, like, watching what they could have done as five individual 2-minute trailers for
fair.
Each of these games.
Yeah, totally. That's fair. Yeah. And that's the thing is, I think they need to find that balance and that cadence, because you never make everybody happy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds really shitty to say, but, like, if I was PlayStation and this is the vision we have for this thing, I would keep running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I would do them every quarter, like we're saying. And, like, so people are, because again, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the week with Borderlands, right? Where there's all this controversy and people are stirred up about Borderlands sells fucking through the roof, right? Like, right now, PlayStation, if we all want a Monday morning quarterback and be like, well, it seems like, but everybody fucking watched it yesterday. Everybody was tweeting about it, right? And so again, it got some of these games on somebody's radar.
My thing too is that, like, I feel like, you know, afterwards there was a lot more mixed reception than you would have gotten from the last Nintendo Direct,
sure.
right? And is that a thing of, like, you know,
any publicity?
Like, any publicity is good publicity, or, like, is it, like, a structural issue of how you're going to put these things together, like, put the state of place together, and the games are going to put in them? And that's why I'm like, okay, let's see how it is
to the lead up to PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
Because like right now, I think Nintendo has the benefit of, well, one, they're Nintendo, and so really like anything can happen as far as like, oh, here's a new Kirby game, oh, here's a Star Fox game, oh, here's F-Zero,
or Fox Mario Golf.
Where is Mario Golf? I'm waiting, right? Or like, what was the random game that there was a lot of random games the last year?
That's not, you got to narrow it down more for Nintendo Directs.
It was a sequel to like a random like GameCube game that has a cult following. I think it was a horror, like weird, like, or thriller kind of game.
Fatal Frame?
No. Or maybe I'm getting that mixed up with it. There was a certain specific, like very specific
game. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
That got a sequel announced for Switch at the last Nintendo Direct. But like Nintendo was able to throw those types of things out there. I guess just because of the platform that they've kind of built for themselves, right? And I'd like to see
Deadly Premonition.
Yes. Great job.
Thank you. But they have like those types of games there, right? Jedi Outcast too, right?
Yeah.
And of course, like it's the Switch, so it gets more hype because we know that these games are going to be portable, which adds a certain element of like, oh snap, Jedi Outcast. It's Jedi Outcast too, right?
That's the name of the. I think so. I was never familiar with the source material, so when it came out,
like the Star Wars game that I loved from back in the day is now portable. Cool. It has that level of intrigue and like excitement about it that PlayStation doesn't necessarily have, but you know, being able to build a good roster of announcements, I think, is kind of important for this kind of presentation. And I think it's a thing we'll get when PlayStation has like way more to say.
Yeah, and that is the interesting thing of when we get closer. Not to mention in general, 2020, right? Of like, it was the same thing. Like I was watching it through today for the notes, and the first one was as you guys said on your watch along. That PlayStation 4 beep at the center made me think my PlayStation turned on.
Yeah.
And then the second one was still no Ghost of Tsushima news. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing is, like, they still have so many bullets in the chamber that they're ready to fire.
They do. Yeah.
They're just letting it build. I mean, of course, the silver bullet, Patapon 2, but I digress. Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, number 2 on the Roper Report. Inside Xbox happened yesterday and it had a bunch of news as well. First off, Project xCloud beta signups are up. You can get your go and register right now. Today, we're inviting the community to take the next step with us and join the Project xCloud preview coming this October to United States, United Kingdom, and Korea. Public preview is a critical phase in our multi-year ambition to deliver game streaming globally at the scale and quality of experience that the gaming community deserves and expects. It's time to put Project xCloud to the test in a broader capacity with a range of gamers, devices, networks, environments, and real world use case scenarios, and this is where you come in. At Xbox, we've made it a priority to engage with all of you to help in the creation process. We now want you to play with us and share your feedback on Project xCloud. You can go to a bunch of different sites. You can go to xbox.com. That's where I went to register until I learned it was only Android devices, and I couldn't even say I have iOS thing put me on there. Xbox launched with Halo, and so will Project xCloud public preview. It will begin with Halo 5 Guardians, the all-new Gears 5, a fantastic fast Twitch fighter Killer Instinct, and the online adventure Sea of Thieves. This is just the beginning of our content library and how it will grow as the preview progresses. Those games, of course, all free, it said, in the FAQ. So
really?
If you get in, you just have them. You don't have to buy these games.
That's pretty cool.
They're for you to try out. There are a few requirements to participate in the Project xCloud preview. You need a phone or tablet running Android 6.0 or higher with Bluetooth 4.0, a Microsoft account, a Bluetooth-enabled Xbox One wireless controller, and while not required, we recommend a phone mount for your controller. Project xCloud runs on Wi-Fi and mobile networks in your area. You will be able to access the content through our all-new Microsoft game streaming app available in the coming weeks for Android devices. It'll be available for all to download, but you'll only be able to sign in once you receive the official invite to preview. I am so incredibly bummed it's only on Android.
Yeah.
And I knew it would be, and I don't think it'll be that long. I had a conversation at E3 at the desk
yes.
when I was getting my preview for it,
mm-hmm.
where I was talking to them, and I'm like, cool. I know it's not going to be iOS to begin with, but how long? And like, what do you mean? I'm like, is it going to be a year? And they were like, oh, no, it'll be quicker than that. Like,
okay.
That was one of the big things with the – but my that was me talking about it, and I don't know if I was being specific about the beta. So the beta might only be Android devices. I don't know. I would hope not. I would think as you continue.
That's for you, nerd.
You get this. I'm enjoying Apple Arcade, so you can shut it. Nobody's even using your Google Play thing with your old games on, and you guys are all confused about it yesterday. I imagine they'll do this for a while. Once they feel like they've got that short up, then
yeah,
iPhone and
go platform by platform.
But fuck, do I want
slowly
that
roll
future
out.
Blessing? I want it so bad. I just want to try it at this point.
I do want to try it,
and this would be a great place because I still haven't started Gears 5. And
I don't know how. I still don't know how I feel about the end game of the streaming. I mean, I think the streaming future is coming, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's imminent.
Yeah.
But I am curious to see, like, once it gets into more people's hands, like, how that actually plays out.
Our next story is going to be very talking about the imminent future of games and how you'll get them. But before we get there, there's still more from this. They also talked about Xbox Game Pass, an update for PC. It's going to get Dirt Rally 2.0, Bad North, City Skylines, and Saints Row 4 Reelected.
Yeah.
And then they had information on DayZ. They introduced Livonia. In today's Inside Xbox episode, we also unveiled a trailer for the all-new DLC content for DayZ. This terrain is set in summer with lots of forest locations, my apologies, as well as additional content that will be that will come to the main game. Like, one of the core new items will be a bear who we are using as Livonia's mascot. So there you go. Awesome.
Nice.
However, and there was other stuff there, but those were more game updates, right? Of course, there was much different stuff. After party there as well.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking get it, Night School.
I see if Thieves.
Huh?
A lot of Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, man. A lot of Sea of Thieves. Yeah. They're still trying to make that a thing. They are. Did you ever play?
I played for like a day, and I was like, this seems interesting. Definitely not for me.
Yeah.
I love Rare as a developer. They're like one of my favorite developers. But yeah, Sea of Thieves wasn't vibing with me.
Okay.
But I know I have friends. Like, shout out to Nato. My friend Nato from Australia, who I think poured beer on Tim one time, actually.
Nice.
He loves Sea of Thieves. I know, like, there's a pretty hardcore audience for that game.
Number three on the report is one that I think is so fascinating and could be so huge. Let's talk about it. PlayStation is going to start selling straight to you. Hi, PlayStation fans. Today, we're launching our own online store to offer PS4 consoles, accessories, games, and more directly from PlayStation for fans and gift givers in the U.S. who can visit a single destination. Integrated with the PlayStation.com website, you can now easily navigate from hardware and game product information pages directly to purchasing these PlayStation products from our store, ranging from PS4, PS4 Pro, and PSVR systems and bundles, as well as headsets, DualShock 4 wireless controllers, PSVR accessories, a selection of physical games, and voucher codes for PS Plus subscriptions. We plan to expand down the line, but the initial selection of physical discs include Astrobot, Blood and Truth, Bloodborne, Days Gone, God of War 3 Remastered, Horizon Zero Dawn, Marvel, Spider-Man's Game of the Year Edition, MLB The Show 19, Quantic Dream Collection, Ratchet and Clank, The Last of Us Remastered, and Uncharted 4, A Thief's End. The new online store is now open exclusively in the United States, with a limited time launch promotion ending October 31st, 2019 for two bundles, including PlayStation 4 plus a 12-month subscription of PlayStation Plus for $339.99. That's a $20 savings. Or a PlayStation 4 Pro and a 12-month subscription of PlayStation Plus for $29.99. Again, $30 that one is the difference there.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where it gets interesting. PlayStation Plus members who are signed in are also eligible for free one-day express shipping. Visit direct.playstation.com to check it out today, and be sure to come back often as we continue to expand new products and promotions down the line.
Man, it's like every force that is trying to get GameStop out of here.
Dude, I can't understate this enough, and I know like it. It's one of those that I think it totally could backfire, but go nowhere. Mm-hmm. It could totally fizzle out. It's like when, if you remember an E3 7 years ago or whatever, I don't remember, they came out and talked about how they were doing PlayStation Mobile games and talked about PlayStation Mobile. And I was like, that was the most important, that it's them future-proofing and getting it, and like that went nowhere, right?
Yeah.
This is the same thing of, it's what you're saying, right? Blood is in the water. GameStop will not be around forever. Who knows how much longer? And so with them falling, and they GameStop has been for console makers, for PlayStation, for Xbox, for everybody, the place to sell your consoles, right? With them falling away and PlayStation getting aggressive to make this thing, it gets really interesting really quickly. Because we've seen it with Nintendo, we've seen it with PlayStation and Amazon, where certain things aren't available on there, right? How far removed are we from PlayStation being like, cool, every PlayStation 4 Pro from the base model is $50 off. If you're a PlayStation Plus member, you get 25% off everything. We are no longer putting our consoles on Amazon in GameStops. Like, there's a whole bunch of different shit happening right there. And it's, you know, I tweeted about this, and Benji Sales on Twitter was like, yeah. And it's like, keep in mind how we just saw the Borderlands, like 70% digital sales kind of like, there's so much shit happening right now that this is not even them getting into the digital market as much as being like, hey, imagine it. PlayStation 5, here it is, here's the price, and guess what? It's available for pre-order exclusively, direct.playstation.com. You know what I mean? Like, that sounds crazy. It does, I don't know, it's one of those, being a student of the game and being in this industry for so long, the way PlayStation and Microsoft have had to play, and Nintendo have had to play ball with the brick and mortars, because of course we want shelf space. Because if it used to be that if we, you know, when PSP Go came around, and we're like, here we go, it could be all digital. It was this argument of like, well, sure, the games could be all digital, but how are you going to get that? People walk into these stores to get them off the shelves. If they can message this in a way that's like, we don't need you as much, or you need to play ball with us now, it gets super fascinating.
Yeah, because I think the conversation has been there for a long while now of like cutting out the middleman, or cutting out GameStop would probably allow for games to, well, I guess games are getting more expensive, so maybe like keep the same price, if not even like get cheaper in some cases.
That's the thing is like, it's just this numbers game of,
yeah.
I don't think you're going to see the discounts would be there to run the brick and mortars out of business and encourage you to go there. Or, yeah. And I shouldn't even say that, also just to compete with Amazon. So many, it isn't even so much anymore they want you to buy from them rather than Walmart as much as they want you to buy from them rather than any other .coms.
Yeah.
Because again, yeah, you're cutting out that third party.
Yeah.
So if it is just the money you're giving to PlayStation is going straight to PlayStation 100%, that's what they want for their business. That's what they want for their bottom line.
I think the PS Plus thing is the most interesting part of this because like if you're able to build PS Plus to be even like more of a thing that everybody is all about by granting them like, you know, free 1-day shipping or like, you know, exclusive discounts on physical games, right? Through the PlayStation Store, right? I think that's going to be pretty awesome. If they can like even make that like an Amazon Prime sort of thing.
I mean,
think
about it too of like, you know, all right, cool. The PlayStation 5 is coming out on this date. You can pre-order starting on Thursday, but PlayStation Plus members on direct.playstation.com can start doing it this evening at midnight. Like, that's the kind of shit they could do.
Yeah.
How aggressive do they want to be? Is this just a parachute they're building so that when one day GameStop, when the news on Games Daily is, GameStop's done. They're closing everything and liquidating. Like, is that just there built in, or is this that they want to get fucking fired up and crazy about it, especially when they talk about the PlayStation 5 being this boutique item to start with, right? That it is this thing for the consumer who wants the highest end. So you already know it's going to be people like us and the people listening to the show. And so they already understand how to use the internet. It's not like you're trying to sell it to my mom, which is what the blog post hints around at about. I cut some paragraphs out, obviously, of like, it's also for gift givers that if you went there, you could get it all in one place kind of thing. And it's like, sure, yeah. I also see that it could go a very... very, very interesting route that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
And now, granted, again, as I was, I digressed as I went. Microsoft does this. When you're on Xbox.com, you can click and buy through them because they have Microsoft stores and all that different stuff. It's interesting. PlayStation enter it. Now, everything I just said is crazy. Best case scenario for PlayStation. I'm more of the mindset: can they really deliver in one day? What is their infrastructure? Will it just crash if that many people went there and tried to do it? Are they building it now to figure out these things to get through those pipelines to get to where they need to be? Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? The shadow knows. You checking if Nintendo does the same?
Yeah.
You can buy accessory. Like, I remember when I wanted to buy a new dock from Nintendo, you can buy that from there. I don't know if you can buy like a straight up brand new Switch from them.
I feel like
Once
I was in the market for a Wii U, I searched up and I could have sworn like seeing listings for a Wii U directly from Nintendo, but I can't remember if it was just like refurbished consoles.
Yeah. Again, I'm not saying that this isn't happening elsewhere, but it is interesting right now to be happening and be, hey, the PlayStation Plus thing's integrated. It's already, like, when I went there and clicked on it and logged in, it pulled all, like, you know how PlayStation's always asked for your, like, fucking address? I was like, that's a weird thing to have for, I mean, granted, credit cards, but even that, I feel like I enter every time. This time, though, it was like, oh, it pulled my address from my PSN profile and put it all there. Like, again, something that they should have done a long time ago. They should have had one ecosystem, but to move it all in there, who knows? The Gold Moose has breaking news. Because there's an Oculus thing going on today.
Oh,
I thought
really?
We'd cover tomorrow. But he says breaking news, or she says breaking news, or they say breaking news. Oculus Link announced. You can now use your Oculus Quest as a Rift with just a USB-C cable plugged into your PC.
Dude.
Announced earlier at Oculus Connect 6.
That's going to be awesome.
We'll cover all the Oculus stuff tomorrow, I say, knowing I won't build it because it's you. Number four, the Switch Lite's real popular. This is analyst Daniel Ahmad, a.k.a. at ZHugeEX on Twitter, who reports, Famitsu is reporting that the Nintendo Switch Lite sold 178,000 units in its first 3 days in Japan. The original Switch sold 62,000 units, which is up week on week. An impressive number indeed. Then there was, he was going back and forth on his own thread with some different numbers from MediaCrate. He clarified this. Okay, it turns out MediaCrate did initially report 114,000 as the preliminary sold through numbers for the Nintendo Switch Lite. But later it changed it to 160,000 as its final estimate. So MediaCrate reports 160,000 for Switch Lite, Famitsu 178,000.
Either way.
Fucking huge.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, man. Every time I pick up Tim's, I'm like, I don't need this.
I picked it up too. I don't need this. I picked it up and I was like, I've never really had the like the craving for like another Switch because like one Switch is enough, right? I can have it at home. I can take it out. Right?
Yeah, that's the whole point of it.
Yeah, that's the whole point of the console. But holding Tim's, I was like, oh, this feels
sexy.
Yeah, this feels great. Like the buttons feel great. The way it feels in your hands feel great. Like,
not gonna do it. I will refuse to break. Kevin, I'm not gonna break.
Oh, fight back.
Number we'll five. Are we about to get Mafia 4 and Mafia 2 remastered? This is Sequib Mansour over at SegmentNext.com. Take-Two Interactive, the parent company of 2K Games, has been spotted to have registered three trademarks in relation to the Mafia franchise just last month. The filings at the time of writing are being reviewed by an examining attorney, but should be accepted in the coming weeks. Two of the trademarks are for Mafia, and their respective text-based logos only differ in typography. The first one is actually identical to the font used for the first two installments of the franchise. The second one is completely different and without any description. Both are possibly placeholders to lock in stylized marks for when the trademarks are updated down the road, and at least one of them sparks the existence of Mafia 4. The third trademark directly mentions Mafia 2 and features the same silhouette logo from 2010. Take-Two Interactive could just be renewing the trademark, but with the other Mafia-related filings within the same time frame, this one probably has to do with a remastered version or edition. It's something that has been widely requested in the past and would surely put up a lot of smiles for 2K Games. According to LinkedIn profiles of some of the staffers, and this is where they're getting into Hangar 13 and all that just, they are not working on a new IP, but an unannounced AAA game. One of the people there, whose name I would butcher and I won't even try, who served as a technical artist for Mafia 3, has been, quote, working on an unannounced AAA game for nearly 2 years right now. Right around the time, Kotaku reported talk of working on a new IP. Would you be down for Mafia 4?
I would be. I mean, I didn't play Mafia 3, but I know a lot of people really enjoyed that game.
Yeah.
And so, like, if they're able to put out Mafia 4 and fix the things that a lot of people weren't feeling about Mafia 3 while still, like, furthering the things that people did like about Mafia 3,
yeah.
I mean, that's going to be a great game for a lot of people.
Yeah, I remember. I liked Mafia 2. I remember playing through and enjoying that. So, I mean, I probably wouldn't have time for the remaster, but to get it in more people's hands,
yeah.
Go for it. And then, hey, number six, just some information on a game we don't talk about all that often. It turns out Teamfight Tactics for League of Legends is incredibly popular. This is via Riot.
Oh, yeah.
Teamfight Tactics has a monthly player base of over 33 million. To date, 1.7 million hours of the mode have been played since Teamfight Tactics came to live servers. Teamfight Tactics increased the peak concurrent players of League of Legends by 30%. And as we announced last week, League of Legends is currently the largest PC game in the world with over 8 million peak concurrent players every day. We're doubling down on Teamfight Tactics. While we announced in July that Teamfight Tactics is a permanent game mode, we are giving additional support to this mode by announcing our commitment to building a competitive scene for Teamfight Tactics starting in 2020 in support of the growing demand from our community and the wider professional scene.
Are you familiar with the whole auto chess trend that's been going on?
100%, I am not.
Dude, it's like it came. I don't know where it came from because I'm not really ingrained in the League of Legends or Dota community. But like, probably like I guess earlier this year, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. If it started even before that, but like out of nowhere, it seemed like everyone, at least everyone like that's a part of that community, like really got into auto chess. I believe it started off as a fan made thing, but then like,
yeah, what is it? I don't even know what it is. Is it chess playing itself?
I don't really know. It's just like another version. I think it's a more strategic, like maybe turn-based version of
chess.
Of no, not chess, but of like Dota, and because like Teamfight Tactics is essentially, I guess, LOL, League of Legends. I don't know. I'm getting into territory that I don't know. If I could call up my homie Ian, he'll be able to explain all of it.
Why can't you call
Ian? I guess I could call Ian.
Yeah,
well, my phone's the other room.
I can read the ad while you go get your phone.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Upstart. As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy. Getting out is hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers a smarter interest rate to help you pay off high-interest credit card debt. Of course, you've heard me talk about it on the show many a times. It was a joke yesterday, I heard. Ha-ha. When I moved to San Francisco, I took out a loan. It had a really bad interest rate, and it sucked for many years after. Don't be like me. Use Upstart. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you and they understand that. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes. The best part? Once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. The next day! Over 300,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot. And hurry to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes and won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/KFGames. Boy not answering the phone?
Yeah.
What a miss.
He's a teacher, so I imagine he's busy.
Scott Porter, famed actor, all right? He's able to call. He's able to call me even. Look at me. I'm busy. I get to answer the phone.
Fair.
Oh, I tell you what. Fair. Hold on, Dan. Let's see if anybody wrote him.
Look at me. I'm busy. I can answer the phone.
Am I wrong, Kev?
No, you're right.
Thank you. You know what I mean? I just want to be, you know, clarify that I'm here, that I'm right.
Yeah.
I know what's happening.
But I know that auto chess is just like a very popular thing going on in that community. I don't know the specifics of it. I know Ben Pack from Giant Bomb loves it.
I don't have his phone number.
You don't have his phone number?
No,
I'm pretty sure you can call up maybe anybody at Giant Bomb. Maybe not Jeff.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Brad? Does Brad play?
I don't know.
See, you don't know anything. You come in here, you know one thing about Ben, you think you know everything.
Ooh, you're so smart.
I'm so tough. I'm blessing. Hold on. I'm trying to get to the bottom of this.
Let's just move on and say we figured it out. You know what I mean?
Hold on, Kevin. All right?
It's
hold
stuff.
On.
We got stuff to do.
All right, we do. Blessing?
Yes.
I'm excited to maybe figure out what auto chess is in this episode, but that answer's still coming from the internet, and it will take so long. If I wanted something more immediate, say, what came to the mom-and-grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, yeah. Out today! Sally's Law on Xbox One, Constructor Plus on Xbox One, Rex Rocket on Xbox One, Home Sweet Home Episode 2 on PC, The Long Drive on PC, Hooklings on PC, Solitaire Game Halloween on PC and Mac, Viking Brothers 6 on PC, Tank Nova on PC and Mac, Snow Island on PC, and PUBG Corporation has released its largest update to the PC servers. All right, here we go. We got an answer, everybody. Hold on. Kevin! Jackie Collins from Riot Games. It's me, Greg Miller. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
Good. You're live on Kind of Funny Games Daily. It's me and Blessing.
Hello, everybody.
So here's the question. I was reading about your Team Fight Tactics stuff. You sent me this press release today. I was like, these numbers are interesting. We need to talk about them. And then Blessing stumped me by asking if what's the auto chess? Auto chess is a big movement, and this Team Fight Tactics is somehow tied into auto chess. I don't understand.
So auto chess is... it is a mod that was created by the Dota modding community in January. So auto chess has kind of been named as the genre that Team Fight Tactics would fall into. Here at Riot, we actually call that genre auto battler because we don't feel right using someone else's game as the name of a genre. That just doesn't feel cool.
Fair.
So since the battling happens automatically, we call it an auto battler here, but that's the genre. And auto chess is made by Dota. I think it's currently on the Epic Game Store. And then Valve has their official version that they made, which is Dota, I forget what they call it now. Dota Underlords is the Valve version. Team Fight Tactics is ours, which is the League of Legends auto battler. And there is another one that I am forgetting what it's called. I forgot that one.
Okay.
So yes, it's a fun genre. So that's what it is.
Okay. Auto battler. Got it.
Yes.
Does that explain it for you, Blessing?
Yeah, that explained it a lot.
All right, thank you, Jackie. Go back to work.
All right.
Bye. All right, bye.
But yeah, basically, I know that a lot of people are into it.
I gave you the stats. You know that many people are. And then Mario Kart Tour is out on Android and iOS. It will be the one reader mail question, but I want to get new dates in here. Guess what? September 26th at 9 a.m., you're getting in the Fall 2019 ID at Xbox Game Pass Showcase. You can tune in that Thursday, September 26th, 9 a.m., to the Xbox YouTube channel to see some of the great games that are coming to Xbox Game Pass in the coming months from independent developers. Then Stella hits Xbox on October 17th. Stella hits Xbox October 17th and joins Apple Arcade. There you go. So it's
that's cool. There too. I played that at PAX. It's pretty cool.
Is it worth me getting on Apple Arcade? Of course
worth
it is.
Trying
I already got it. Yeah. It just doesn't matter.
Are you familiar with what it is?
I'm not familiar.
It's essentially like an inside, like, or like limbo like game. Ooh. Platformer, puzzle platformer. Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
It's interesting.
And then ReVenture comes to Switch October 8th. Blessing.
Yes.
We've inserted reader mail as we've gone on this very, very long show. We've had reader friend phone calls. Like, it's been an episode. You know what I mean? You never know what's going to happen here. So I want to give you one question, all right?
Yep.
Frank Furter, who wrote in all over the place yesterday on your episode.
He did.
wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, Nintendo has released their newest mobile feature, Mario Kart Tour. Normally, I don't play mobile games, but this one has me interested due to it being one of the most distinguished and beloved kart games out there. However, in my opinion, Nintendo seems to have missed their mark yet again with trying to get all their money's worth by having a monthly subscription that locks part of the game behind a paywall. $5 a month for an extra challenge goal or for extra challenge goals, winning more currency / XP after races, and unlocking 200cc mode that was free in the full console game seems a bit egregious and like pay to win. Do you think Nintendo's attempt at microtransactions will work here, or will there be another angry internet mob? For clarity, Nintendo's press release, I'm going to pull from it here and read the synopsis, all right? The free-to-start Mario Kart Tour game brings the endless fun of Mario Kart to mobile devices, allowing players to collect a variety of drivers, carts, and gliders from an expanding roster. Players can strive to achieve high scores, unlock additional cups, earn in-game rewards, or compare their online ranking in a weekly ranked cup with players from around the world. Many classic tracks, items, and characters make a return, appearances, yada, 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 yada. Players can choose which drivers, carts, and gliders they use in races across a variety of courses, including fresh takes on this, that, and the other. First course is going to be New York City. It begins today. It's available until October 8th. During this time, players also have the chance to obtain the mayor of New Donk City, Pauline, in the character's first ever appearance in a Mario Kart game, a New York-themed kart, and a New York-themed glider. New York is just the first of many stops, Tokyo, Paris, etc., and so on. Players can sign up for a free 2-week trial subscription to the Mario Kart Tour Gold Pass by tapping the Gold Pass purchase button in-game. With the Mario Kart Tour Gold Pass subscription, players can unlock the extra-fast 200cc mode, obtain additional in-game rewards from racing, and gain access to bonus goals exclusive to Gold Pass holders. Once the 2-week trial period ends, it will convert to a monthly subscription of $4.99.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the best implementation of microtransactions, but I feel like Nintendo's not had the best run as far as like.
I mean, that's what Frankfurter says, right? Is that they're still stepping out and like, you know, the question: will it work here or be another angry internet mob? That to me, here's the thing: I love Mario Kart. Mario Kart is like with Mario Golf, like my Nintendo franchises, right? Like,
yeah,
the shit that I go nuts for. I saw this. I downloaded it last night. It went live at midnight, so I was already asleep because I was very tired. But this morning, like, I looked at screenshots and stuff, and I'm like, I don't even want to play this. This doesn't look like the Mario Kart I love or want
to
play.
That's the thing, right? I don't want to just like rain down hate on the Nintendo mobile games because people like the Fire Emblem game, right? Like, I think there's some love for some of what they're doing, but it seems like for a large part of it, it almost feels like a bastardization of like franchises that have been great on their consoles, of like now trying to translate these things to mobile has just not worked, either because they don't understand how to adequately monetize, because they are like, Nintendo treats their games as premium products. You can tell because their pricing never goes down, even after a year of them being out on
Switch.
Right? And so like, you'd imagine that if they could, they would just release these games for like a premium price and just be done with it. But and I think they might have like tried to test the waters with that with Mario Run, maybe, because you could buy
Super
that
Mario Run was the same way, where free to start,
where
you got the whole first world for free, right?
Yeah.
And then you had to pay to get the rest of it to unlock. But it was a one-time purchase, not a monthly subscription.
Yeah, exactly.
Nintendo's talked on this. We've talked and read stuff from the comments about on this show that it hasn't worked yet, and we're going to keep trying different ways, and we're going to try to make it work. This, as a Mario Kart fan, doesn't sound interesting to me at all. I need to play the game still. I just tried, but I have to link my Nintendo account. What the fuck's my Nintendo ID? I don't remember. But I don't care about 200cc. I don't even fucking play on the Switch to begin with. I think it's too crazy and stuff. It's not what I want to play. The controls on a phone doesn't seem like something I want to do. More challenges. It just doesn't entice me at all. That's not a game I want there. I thought, you know, Animal Crossing, for as long as I played it, I thought was fine doing what you know, that I want a real Animal Crossing, but
like, they've not really had like a hit on mobile, unless you count like Pokemon Go, but that's not
Nintendo. No, you don't count that. Fire Emblem did do World Run. I thought people liked it. Tim would tell him,
From what I've heard from the people that have played it, is they seem to enjoy it, but I don't know if that also was like a game that's like selling Nintendo, like what Nintendo maybe would have wanted for it.
For Frankfurter's question, I think honestly it's just too soon to tell. I think obviously I will play it. I do want to jump in and see what it's all about. It's not like the top of my list right now. And I think that's where it'll be with everybody else. But I think in terms of an angry internet mob, I don't think it's going to get more angry than probably what it was for Super Mario Run. Of like, yeah. Most people are like, oh, this isn't really the Mario game I want. In the same way, I don't know if this is the Mario Kart game I want, at which point I'm not angry and railing on in the internet about it. I'm just like not paying attention, just gone.
Yeah, and I also feel like a lot of people have already written it off.
Totally.
And so like for them to implement this, it doesn't seem like a thing where, I mean, maybe people that did like find themselves into it, maybe they won't be happy about it. But yeah. I feel like for the most part, like, yeah, it won't be the angry mob situation because most people are probably like, yeah, it wasn't what I really wanted in the first place.
Yeah, to begin with, right?
Yeah.
It's time to squad up, and this is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a game. I read it here, the best friends come and find you, and everybody has fun together. Today, Parker needs help on PlayStation 4, his PSN is JMAC99, all one word. I'm getting close to the Plat and Rayman Legends and need help with the two multiplayer trophies. They're tied to the daily and weekly challenges, so hit me up if you like the game or don't have these trophies. The game was on PlayStation Plus a few months back, so many of you might have it in your library. If you want to help out Parker in Rayman Legends, hit him up on PlayStation 4 at JMAK99. JMAC99. We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screwed up to set the record straight. Jay wrote in, said, to Greg's comments about Xbox bidding on the Call of Duty DLC, Phil Spencer has stated multiple times that they do not want third-party exclusives and exclusive DLC because it's anti-consumer. Any links to a GameSpot article?
Interesting.
It's that. It's.
I'd want to know why they feel like that.
Well, you can read that GameSpot article, right?
That's
there.
True. That's, right. That's a good point.
I feel like that's an easy thing to say.
Because like they got. That.
That's the hardest thing to do on that one. Is that I love what Phil's doing with Xbox. I believe
he's
Phil
awesome.
Spencer. I like their whole team. My knee jerk reaction is like, well, yeah, that's what you say when you're not getting the exclusive content. Like,
yeah.
You know, and like the big runaway success thing is. But then again, like that totally flies in the face of what I just said about Phil Spencer. So I don't know.
Yeah. And I immediately think of like Rise of the Tomb Raider. Was that the one that was Xbox exclusive for like a year?
Yeah.
And that was
under Phil Spencer's regime, right? Or no?
I believe so.
Kind of funny. .com/you're wrong, but hurry.
15. And so
okay.
Was he like. Was that him?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when Don Matrick left. When did Phil Spencer take over? Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I'm putting it to you right now, Twitch people.
I know that's like different from exclusive content, but I feel like it's almost in the same spirit.
It's the same thing as it has evolved. And again, guess what? Everybody's allowed to change and have their opinions change. So even if it was 2019, different story in terms of where we're at with gaming.
And that's
and
not me
like
you know, throwing shade at Phil Spencer.
Oh,
that's
God,
me
no.
like
legitimately, I think Phil Spencer and Xbox are doing amazing.
No, I think he's awesome.
Stuff.
But that's me just critiquing like the whole like, Xbox's kind of strategy as far as like what the context of that quote and the context of like what they have done.
Oh, here we go. Steve says there was an update to the Fallout 76 helmet nonsense from yesterday. This is IGN. A previous version of this story said the collectible helmet was from the $200 Power Armor Collector's Edition. It is instead from a different line of collectibles sold through GameStop. Here's Bethesda's statement on the matter. The helmets that are being recalled are not from our Fallout 76 Power Armor Edition, but are instead from a different line of helmets sold exclusively by GameStop. The Fallout 76 Power Armor Edition helmets are unaffected. Consumers should visit the product page for more of the blah, blah, blah. So there you go. If you like me, still have the power armor thing, there it is. It's funny because I meant to bring it out today, but I got sidetracked. But I was going to put it out and be like, how much do you want to work here one day? Put it out. Show me.
Death Trap, or what's up with that?
Yeah, there's mold in some of them. You
it's poisonous.
Oh, yeah, was Barrett running the board yesterday?
It was Barrett.
Yeah. There's a great episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily about it yesterday. It's Van Aken writes in and says, Jedi Outcast 2's full title was Star Wars Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast.
Yeah.
It should be cherished by all of us.
I'm not going to remember that title.
Oh, here we go. Oh, what's Barrett running to say?
I'm guessing we're in you're wrong
yeah.
at this
yes.
point. Just announced Vader Immortal Episode 2 coming to Oculus Quest today.
Whoa!
Yeah. And then the Beat Saber like 360 mode is also coming to Oculus Quest and Rift in December, I believe.
Well, we're going
to
talk about all this tomorrow. I'm giving him a pair of something.
But
no,
I just wanted to be hype about Vader
Immortal
Episode 2 because Episode 1 is really cool.
Yeah. Here we go. Brian says, I played Mario Kart on the phone on the way to work today, spent zero monies, and had a pretty good time. Just kart on the phone.
Nice.
Simple online racer, never asked me to spend any money. Good in small doses. All right. And then here we go, too. Ignacio Rojas is someone who tried out Mario Kart 2, where this is the best implementation I've seen of a free-to-play game. The pass is only needed if you want 200cc. They don't even limit the amount of times you can play. Good. Okay. Kale says, in September 2017... Spencer was promoted to the senior leadership team, gaining the title of executive vice president of gaming within the company. That's different, though. Cam says, Phil Spencer took over March 2014. Tomb Raider came out in 2015. Parker Petroff says Phil Spencer was promoted to report directly to CEO in September 2017. Mixed for Chandra. Phil Spencer was promoted to head of Xbox in March 2014. And then again, Kale says Xbox in general was March 2014. So don't get in here with the 2017 bullshit, guys. We knew we were going to catch you on that one. Yeah. You cowards. This has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every week, down a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You, of course, can then go to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, watch us record it live, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, watch us record it later, I guess, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe. I'm off. No more Kinda Funny Games Daily for me the rest of the week. Instead, Blessing takes the reins tomorrow.
Yeah.
With IGN co-founder Per Schneider. Friday with... some bum, Alex Van Aken. Never heard of him.
Yeah.
It's nice that you got the up-and-comer opportunity. Now you're giving it, you're up-and-coming with somebody else. You're bringing
somebody else. I want to bring the homie because Alex Van Aken, if you don't know, is a really, really talented host, a really, really talented content creator, can edit videos out of this world, and can navigate After Effects out of this world. And I feel like that dude definitely deserves shine
some
on
love.
Yeah, some love. On the show. And so thank you so much for allowing me to bring him and allowing me to do that.
Thank you for coming up this week doing all this stuff with us. Of course, you're doing We Have Cool Friends with me this afternoon.
Yes.
Not recording it live, but you still have time to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get your questions in for Blessing. Of course, tomorrow, Gamescast, 2 p.m., it's going to be me, Blessing, Fran, and Tim. I will be talking about my 2 hours with The Last of Us Part 2. Whew, what a show.
Right?
Yeah, right? That was a big one. Yesterday, no news. Today, way too much of it. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.